Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I am wonderful. Luckily, I don't have any romantic abnormalities like poor Troy McClure.
romantic abnormalities. Oh. That's so sad.
Poor guy. It sucks to be him. He can't satisfy his desires.
I mean, he can.
If he were richer, probably he could.
I mean, he still can. He goes to the aquarium, takes care of business, whatever that business could be.
Kind of left hopefully back. It does not traumatize the fish.
We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you can gain access to all of our bonus content. Really appreciate it if you take a look at it. Also, help us out by giving us a review, giving us 5 stars, subscribing to us on iTunes or whatever podcast service you use. We really appreciate every single person who takes the time to do that for us. On to this week's episode. It is A Fish Called Selma. Episode 3, F15, originally aired March 24th, 1996, written by Jack Barth. It is his only episode that he wrote. He's a freelancer.
He did a great job. They should have brought him back.
Well,
if he would have come.
I don't know. Everything I've read and heard is that it was extensively rewritten.
Oh, that's
so
true.
I mean, obviously, all episodes are kind of like that, but who knows? So it was directed by Mark Kirkland, tied for 66th place in the ratings of the week with a Nielsen rating of 7.8, sixth highest rated show on Fox that week. 66th place and sixth highest rated show on the Fox network, Matt.
Going with it.
Episode guest stars Phil Hartman and Jeff Goldblum. They list Phil Hartman as the guest voice for Fat Tony online.
Really?
In places. And I'm like, it's not Joe Mantegna. There's a very short bit of Fat Tony in this episode. It is certainly not Joe Mantegna. I think it's
really?
I think it's Hank Azaria. Joe Mantegna is not listed. He would be listed if he provided the voice.
It's true. It's really short what he says. I mean, it's like, no, what I said is he sleeps with the fishes.
Yes, and I want to say it sounded like Hank Azaria doing, like, a wise guy voice, like an Italian mafia
kinda,
voice.
Kind of, yeah.
But
it was pretty close, though. I couldn't tell.
My nimble ears noticed.
Mm-hmm. Your critical ears.
Mm-hmm, exactly. The episode begins with Simpsons watching television, as they often do. They are watching The Muppets Go Medieval. From 1977, I believe, is the credited date in the Rain Delay Theater promo for it. it's starring Troy McClure and a couple good impersonations of both Kermit and Miss Piggy. I want to say I don't know who did the Kermit Miss Piggy voices, but not bad.
No. I mean, they're not perfect, obviously, but I mean, they're good enough that, you know. You obviously knew who they were supposed to be, and it wasn't like, oh, this is that weird Ned voice that when he got replaced.
But we do find out, we don't find out what a Muppet is.
Dad, what's a Muppet?
Well, it's not quite a mop, and it's not quite a puppet, but man! So to answer your question, I don't know. Harry!
Why'd they make that one Muppet out of leather?
That's not a leather Muppet, that's Troy McClure. Oh, back in the 70s, he was quite the teen heartthrob.
Yeah, who'd have thought he'd turn out to be such a weirdo?
What are you talking about?
You know, his bizarre personal life. Those weird things they say he does down at the aquarium. Why, I heard...
Oh, Homer, that's just an urban legend. People don't do that type of thing with fish. Troy McClure is a perfect gentleman. Like Bing Crosby or JFK.
Neither Bing Crosby or JFK were perfect gentlemen.
No, that is the joke here. They turned out to be awful people. Not all the time, but you know.
They
were violent individuals at times in their lives.
JFK, I don't know about violent for JFK, but he certainly was.
Well, that's true. Sorry. I was thinking more Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby,
yeah, JFK is more of the...
A philanderer type. But this is where this kind of sets this and the following scene where Troy McClure is... We cut to Troy McClure, who's driving in his DeLorean down the street and is banging off cars on both sides of the street because he's driving without his glasses, because he doesn't want to wear glasses, because he thinks they make him look like a nerd.
Which they do.
Which they do, but that's fine. I mean, you're not...
Yeah, You're driving. You don't have to look cool when you're driving. You have to not kill people.
I know people who are supposed to wear glasses when they drive, do not.
They're awful people and should be banned from driving. You should stab them in the butt next time they try to do that.
In the butt?
That way they can't sit and drive. So, you know,
I mean,
that's
foolproof logic. But and he gets pulled over by Chief Wiggum. Chief Wiggum does not recognize him, which Chief Wiggum has, we've seen him treat celebrities with, you know, kind of look past speeding tickets or whatever. If they're, you know, Krusty in particular, we've seen him give Krusty preferential treatment. Doesn't recognize Troy.
And Mel Brooks.
He doesn't recognize Troy. And, you know, we are quite familiar with Troy McClure by the time of this episode. It is, you might know me from Troy McClure, etc., yes. From whatever. And
in this case, it is the greatest story ever, Hulud, and They Came to Burgle Carnegie Hall.
Yes, two great films. And he isn't recognized. You know, Homer has already mentioned the weird sexual thing with fish, whatever that is, and that is a clear allusion to the long-standing urban legend about Richard Gere and him having a incident with a gerbil, which they've... South Park is also...
Everyone likes to rip on that. It's pretty commonly proven.
Yeah, I'm
not real.
Yeah, it's not. That's not real. But this, it's, you know, it's obviously an allusion to that. But Troy is down. He is not famous. You know, Marge says, oh, yeah, he was really famous in the 70s. And I don't think they've ever kind of alluded to the fact that he is, obviously, he kind of has always done B movies. You know, I think that's clearly, like, he's introduced.
That was his.
He's introduced infomercials and stuff like that. He's always been kind of like not Hollywood anymore. Just like
he strikes me as one of those people who like who did, you know, enough stuff that everyone knew their name back in like the 70s, and then, you know, they stopped getting work pretty steadily downhill throughout the 80s, and then they're just stuck doing infomercials and stupid crap in the 90s.
Yeah.
That happened to, I feel like, a lot of people.
Well, it's career trajectories of many, like, in Hollywood, it's just visible. You know, it's very visible when a young actor or actress gets a lot of work and then suddenly they don't anymore. And, you know, you see it. And this is where we see Troy now. This is where Troy is. Is he aware of all this? Is he aware of the fact that he's like, it feels like he's still trying to swing like he is a Hollywood star, despite the fact that he is clearly is not.
It does definitely seems like that. It seems like that's his thing, that he wants everyone to know him and to be able to parlay off his fame, which, as we see in this episode, tends to work for him. People still recognize him a lot, but not as much as he thinks they will,
and not necessarily for good reasons. Like, it is certainly in the next scene, Wiggum asks for a bribe, and we'll let him go as long as he goes to the DMV and gets another eye test done. He goes to the DMV, and of course, Patty's somewhere working there. And of course, well, Selma is immediately, like, love struck, you know, like, wow, a star here. And, you know, it makes sense because she would have been the right age. You know, Marge has already mentioned he was a heartthrob in the 70s. I think Selma would be that right age to, like, be growing up with him in, you know, his heyday. Troy utterly fails the eye test, and
he tries to throw an ampersand in there, which is on most tests, not on most tests.
I would recall there's no – I've never seen an ampersand on any of the tests I've ever taken, the eye tests. But he basically says, hey, pass me, and I'll take you out to dinner, which – definitely works immediately. Selma
stamps his thing like four or five times. Like, oh, heck yeah.
Yes, right away. Yes. I mean, what's the risk? You're only unleashing a man who's clearly a bad driver without his glasses onto the world.
It's true. He probably won't kill anybody today. Tomorrow, who knows? But, you know.
In his DeLorean, which another, like, they really layer on those, like, the washed up actor stuff in this.
And we haven't even seen his house yet.
We haven't seen his house yet. But he goes out to her at the, Pimento. What is it? The Pimento Grove?
Yes.
Which is, like, one of the fancy restaurants in Springfield. So he's not, you know, he's not being cheap, at least. He's going to like
he's your restaurant. Taking what little money he has left that he saved stitching together his beanbag.
Yeah, I'm curious how much actual money he has.
It doesn't seem like much.
I think he's okay, but not great. That's
I think he gets he probably gets the same amount of money in residuals that a normal family would make from, you know, 1 to 1.5 incomes. But he spends a lot of time trying to get things for free because of his fame. Like, I can't imagine the Pimento Grove actually charges him for dinner. Okay, maybe the Pimento Grove does, because they've got lots of pictures of celebrities on the wall, yeah. And he is on the cat flap.
Yes, Selma tries to find his picture, and they finally do find it. It is on the... Why is there a cat roaming through this restaurant? Question.
Because every restaurant is better with cats around you?
There is a Twitter account I follow called Bodega Cats, which I do definitely...
Well, yeah.
That's really good. That's, but
in bodegas, it's mostly sealed food, not so much in a restaurant.
Yeah, I would not... I don't want pets in my restaurants. I mean...
Yeah, not so much.
No, thank you. But their dinner is kind of boring. As, like, Troy is not a great conversationalist, and Selma probably is feeling kind of awkward being at dinner with a movie star. But when they leave the restaurant, some paparazzi notice.
Well, thanks for holding up your end of the bargain. I had a pretty good time.
Yeah, me too. You need a ride somewhere?
Hey, get a load of this. Try McLaren what looks like a date.
Here you go, boys. A little something for page one.
Hey, Harlan, isn't this your sister-in-law on a date with Troy McClure?
Troy McClure, he's a washed-up movie star. He could be dating washed-up supermodels.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe those rumors about his fish fetish weren't true after all.
This changes everything. I'd pay to see him in a movie now. If only that were possible.
If only that were possible.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you go to the drive-in, apparently, and see him. I don't know if they charge, but you can go there.
I think they charge, just no one is that interested in seeing
a movie. Muppets Go Medieval.
Yeah, which they could have seen on their basic cable, apparently.
Yeah.
But we see Troy's house, which is... Yeah, ultra-modern house.
If you've ever played GTA 5, the part where you rip the one guy's house off the side of a hill, that's about to happen to Troy's house without any help.
Yeah, it's not doing so great. It is very much like, here, this is what people thought the future would look like. And then I'm sure there's words to describe it. I'm not good at them. It's falling apart. He has a giant aquarium in his bedroom, surrounding his bedroom, which does not necessarily help the... I mean, he himself admits his romantic abnormality later, but he finally gets a phone call because the fact his picture with Selma ends up in the paper. He gets a call from MacArthur Parker, which is a good, that's a good name. It's an excellent name.
It's a very, very Hollywood name.
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum, who does a good job. Actually, Jeff Goldblum came back and re-recorded his lines faster. He recorded them once. They were not fast enough because this episode largely concerns Troy McClure and Selma. They are both characters that speak relatively slowly.
That's true.
And apparently the first cut of this was the audio was 28 minutes long.
Oh, wow.
And that's too long. That's too many minutes in this for one episode of The Simpsons. So they had to cut some stuff, and which includes apparently Troy's bachelor party, which would have been. But they also had Jeff Goldblum come back and record his lines even faster to try and squeeze a little bit extra in. But
that's true, because Jeff Goldblum tends to speak kind of slowly, so it must have been difficult for him.
He's a good actor. He's a veteran.
Life finds a way.
They
had to cut all the pauses.
That was one character. That you know.
I know, but it's his most famous line. Come on,
Ian Malcolm is a thinker. You know, he's an academic.
I feel like all of the roles I know Jeff Goldblum from are academics. Like, he's the scientist in The Fly. He's the mathematician in Jurassic Park. And that's about it. It's all I
know. Wes Anderson movies, he's sometimes not an academic.
Oh, God, I hate Wes Anderson movies.
Yeah, of course you would, Matt. Of course you would hate Wes Anderson movies. That is the least surprising thing.
They're full of emotion and whimsy and just, and the people I hate.
I mean, that's kind of the point. You're not supposed to necessarily like the characters in most Wes Anderson movies. There's supposed to be kind of.
I don't want
to
watch them where I hate all the characters. sometimes it can be interesting, but, you know, most that's why I stopped watching Breaking Bad. I didn't like anybody but Hank, and Hank was barely in it.
I'm just keep letting you talk. See how many more things you can say you don't like.
How many more people hate me now than already do?
It's fine. Everyone knows you're a weirdo. But MacArthur Parker is calling for the first time in 8 years, apparently. I think if my agent didn't talk to me in 8 years, I would just fire him. I don't think I would.
Yeah, I hope he's not paying him in any way.
I assume it's on percentage, not on necessarily on.
Yeah.
I would hope so, at least, for 8 years without even contact. But MacArthur Parker has seen that the pictures in the newspaper. Troy is in the news again. He could be given acting jobs, not just jury duty jobs. And he encourages him to keep going on get dates with women. That will help make people notice you again.
To be fair, Troy even mentions later on, even if it were men, that'd be something. Just humans.
Adult humans. He calls up Selma and goes out on a second date.
Hello, Selma Bouvier. It's Troy McClure. You may remember me from such dates as last night's dinner. That's right, boys. Troy's back from the gutter, and he's brought someone with him. That's too funny. I can't remember when I've heard a funnier anecdote. Okay, now you tell one.
Well, not much happens to me, but I once had dinner with a movie star, and it was the most wonderful night of my life.
Really? Who was it, George Segal? I hear he plays the banjo.
Troy is...
That's a good skill to have, playing the banjo.
I mean, Troy is not a great conversationalist. He's not very self-aware either, which we've kind of figured out already. But Selma is obviously taken. Like all she wants to talk about is how much she loves being out with him.
Yeah.
We see a little bit later on, but this is like, I don't know, she works at the DMV. You know, she lives with her sister. She doesn't have a very glamorous life.
I can't imagine she has very many interesting stories to tell at dinner.
And now suddenly she's going out to dinner with a dude who's been in hundreds of movies, apparently. And she is getting nervous because she is kind of having to shoulder the burden of this conversation. And lights up a cigarette, which it's a fancy restaurant. Everyone immediately is, a cigarette.
How horrid. Cigarettes are the worst.
It made me realize, like, oh, this happened in 1990. This is a 20-year-old episode because unless you're going specifically to a bar that allows smoking inside, it's just something you don't see very often anymore.
Yeah, there's very few places, at least in deep South states, where you're allowed to smoke indoors anywhere, including bars. It's just unusual.
Yeah, it's like a big thing that has changed culturally in just 20 years, cigarettes. But someone runs out embarrassed. Troy follows her and starts smokes a cigar while she smokes a cigarette and kind of comforts her. And I think that is, like... I'm mostly ambivalent towards Troy as a character. You know, like, I'm not...
He's fun, but he's not, the greatest thing in the world, and he's not a horrible person.
No, he's not. He's just kind of, we're kind of seeing the kind of... with the depth that we get with... I don't know. Let me think. I'm trying to phrase this. With the focus in this episode on him and Selma... It allows us to really develop empathy for him. And this is, I think, the clinching moment for me, is that he obviously isn't romantically interested in Selma. That is never up for debate. But he does care. And this is...
He appreciates her.
Yeah, he does, like, he goes to her and is like, hey, it's all right. Who cares about those people in the restaurant? You know? And that's the moment when you go, like, okay, I want to see... I care about him, just because of the fact he's showing empathy. We get a sit down with the first sit down with Patty and Marge, right? And Selma,
I believe,
in the
yes.
kitchen. Yeah, and Patty is obviously jealous. I mean, we've seen this before between the two sisters when one is, they are all they have. They have each other and pretty much nothing else. And when one of them, it could be in danger of splitting. and leaving the other to their own devices for a large part of the time, you know, they get a little upset. Patty's jealous. Right now, it's not really justified, other than the fact that she thinks she might be losing her sister to someone.
Yeah, eventually we'll realize that's, you know, she's justified, but not right now. Not right now. All it is she's just jealous of the time that Selma's going to be spending away from her. That's all it is at the moment.
Yeah, but Selma's happy. Selma's excited. You know, she thinks this is something special. And she says she's excited because she's going to go to an exclusive screening with Troy to one of his movies.
To his latest movie.
Oh, yes, which is Muppets Go Medieval at the drive-in. They are the only people there, but Troy has taken this occasion to propose to her.
No longer canst I conceal my love, my wimpled turtle dove. Oh, princess fair, wilt thou grant me thine dainty hoof in marriage?
Oh, Troy, I will.
Just a second, baby.
And just to be clear, that noise is him blowing like breath freshener into her mouth.
Yes, of course. Because.
I don't know. They're both smoking in that scene. I don't know what difference it makes.
They couldn't taste anything. They're both smoking cigars, which are even worse than cigarettes. They are the most disgusting thing ever. And so how they could have any problem with each other, I can't imagine.
Never smoked a cigar, Matt?
Oh, God, no.
They're not bad. Special occasions.
Yes, they are.
You're doing it wrong. If you just gotta enjoy the flavor. You're not supposed to really inhale deeply. I mean, that's the secret. If you inhale deeply, you're gonna get sick.
Walking by the cigar bar downtown makes me throw up a little in my mouth. What?
Nothing. You're always on brand, Matt. I really appreciate that you're always on brand. But some accepts immediately and is happy. And this is honestly it's pretty smooth, honestly, for Troy. That's like a smooth move. Like, hey, let's go see one of my movies. And there's a proposal
where there's a wedding or a marriage proposal. So I can echo that and it'll be cool looking.
Exactly. I'm saying like there, Troy has some game. Like he's not like completely tactless, but with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we go straight to Entertainment Tonight, or a vague facsimile of.
Tonight, 70s leading man Troy McClure has finally met the woman of his dreams. We may remember... Woman? Huh. Okay. We may remember Troy from such films as The Verdict Was Mail Fraud and Leper in the Backfield.
With his high-profile romance, Troy's managed to shake the rumors that have dogged his career. And with news of his upcoming wedding, rumor has it he's up for some very choice roles.
Looks like you were wrong when you called him a washed-up deviant, eh, Laurie? All right.
that sounds exactly like I remember Entertainment Tonight being. You can't fault that at all, especially the washed-up deviant part.
How much Entertainment Tonight have you watched in your life, Matt?
A surprising amount, because it always came on like when my parents were watching something in the living room. Like they would watch it. It came on like 7 o'clock before, you know, prime time. So every time I'd walk by the living room to talk to them or say something to them, it would be on in the background, and it was depressing at best. But, you know, that's our society. We are very obsessed with entertainers. Even before Selma and Troy's wedding, Selma moves in. She brings Jub Jub and all her stuff. Troy gives her the keys, tells her about trash collection. He'll be sleeping in the pool house because he doesn't really, you know, want to sleep in the same bed as her, I guess. which, you know, in Troy is not really that much of a surprise.
He just wants to, you know, he takes this marriage thing very seriously. Wants to, you know, doesn't want to consummate their marriage until they are actually married.
That's it. That's his story, all right? Mm-hmm. He then gets another call from MacArthur Parker, who has some interesting news. And this is a long clip, guys, so, you know, tuck in.
Troy, Mac Parker. Ever hear of Planet of the Apes?
The movie or the planet?
The brand new multi-million-dollar musical. And you are starring as the human.
It's the part I was born to play, baby.
Help, the human's about to escape.
Get your paws off me, you dirty ape.
He can talk. 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 He can talk.
I can sing.
Oh, help me, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Oh, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius.
What's wrong with me?
I think you're crazy.
Want a second opinion?
You're all so lazy.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Oh, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius.
Can I play the piano anymore?
Of course you can.
Well, I couldn't before.
This play has everything.
I love legitimate theater.
I hate every ape I see, from chimpanzee to chimpanzee. No, you'll never make a monkey out of me. Oh my God, I was wrong. It was Earth all along. You finally made a monkey.
Yes, you finally made a monkey.
Yes, you finally made a monkey out of me. I love you, Dr. Zaius.
So, yeah, that's the... What did he call it? The Stop the Planet of the Apes, I Want to Get Off. Is that the official name?
That is the official name of the musical. That's the songs are incredible. They're great. The
synth is amazing.
Yeah. It really captures. I mean, it's still happening. They're still doing that, where they adapt movies into musicals and Broadway shows. And this perfectly captures, like, this often goofy but still amazing nature that if you do it well, it can, like, that's chimpanzee to chimpanzee. Come on, that I can't even. It's spectacular in every way. It's unbelievable. It's gorgeous. Phil Hartman is. We haven't really. Phil Hartman's performance is amazing in this.
It really is. It's Phil Hartman. He is a consummate entertainer. He is amazing. He can sing and probably dance. I've never actually seen him dance, but he just is fantastic in this. I mean, I actually was really impressed with all their backup dancers, and I don't know who's doing Dr. Zaius's voice, but it's really good. It's very gruff, very true to the original movies. This whole thing is just fantastic, which is a Simpsons trademark, really.
It's one of the best Simpsons musical numbers.
Yes. I mean, it's right up there with, what was it, Kicking It, the musical tribute to the Betty Ford Center.
Dr. Zaius was Hank Azaria.
Oh, okay. Once again, Hank Azaria is amazing.
Yeah. Everyone, so, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. But after that, Troy comes out with his towel, because obviously he's sweating after all that, and thanks Selma for his performance. And she's a little... You know, she's a little nervous about having that much attention on her, but she bows. The next day, apparently the family goes to hang out with Troy at his house.
My good looks paid for that pool, and my talent filled it with water. Hi, I'm Troy McClure, your future uncle.
Hi, I remember you from such film strips as Locker Room Towel Fight, The Blinding of Larry Driscoll.
You know, I was one of the first to speak out against horseplay.
Uh-huh.
He really was. No one else was against it until he said, hey, you know, there you go.
It's
the Blinding of Larry Driscoll.
Yeah, that poor Larry. I mean, this is we get a little moment here with Selma and Marge about this is kind of Selma's dream. Like,
yes, this is what she always wanted for her life. And she basically is trying to rub Marge's face in the fact that she has the marriage she always wanted. And she assumes that Marge does not, which, you know. Let's be honest. Marge does not. She wanted to marry Ringo Starr.
I mean, really. But, I mean, what's the life of a wife of a Beatle?
I'm assuming it's pretty great. I mean, lots of music, you know, going everywhere. People, you get fame by, you know, association. It's probably a pretty great life compared to raising three kids and barely being able to afford anything for them.
I mean...
depending on the episode. Sometimes money is tight. Sometimes they spend lots of money. So, you know, that part really depends on the episode.
I don't know. Ringo is married. I don't think it's too late.
Well, you never know these days. You never know. But basically, Marge, she doesn't come right out and say that she disagrees with Selma, but she gives her you know, worried grumble. But that night, Homer and Troy go to Moe's. They get drunk together, which is essentially Troy's bachelor party, which I believe, Robbie, you said that there was a longer bachelor party planned, but it got cut, right?
Yeah, I think they just put this in there because they needed a similar scene that would not take up nearly as much time.
That's true. And basically the whole point of this scene is that when they're both really drunk, Troy confesses to Homer that it is a sham marriage. It's just to help his career. But the next day at the wedding, Homer is a bit preoccupied.
And do you, Selma Bouvier, Terwilliger Bouvier, take the fabulous Troy McClure to be your lawful wedded husband?
I already told you, yes.
If anyone here knows why this couple should not be wed in holy matrimony, let him speak now or forever hold his peace.
Da 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 da, hey! Da 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 da, da 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 da, hey! Da da.
I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may now kiss each other.
So, yes, Homer is not the greatest when it comes to remembering things in important times. However, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I don't, even if you do have a genuine concern about the relationship, probably shouldn't bring it up at the wedding.
That's one of those things that no one does anymore. No one asks for objections to the wedding. No one's done that in a very long time.
Yeah, that's for before. If you have sincere objections, you should probably bring them up before. Preferably before
the wedding is even planned.
Yeah, and if you value the relationship with the person, maybe not be rude about it. That's a dangerous area to be in. But I love the little mention that she's already said. I feel like Selma immediately when the ceremony started, it's like, yeah, I say yes. Let's get, come on. Let's go.
I want this on paper. Let's go. We need to get this done as soon as possible.
Yeah. I feel like this could evaporate at any moment. We need to have it. Needs to happen.
Indeed. But that night after the wedding, Homer goes home to Marge, and basically Marge is feeling rather amorous because she's been at a wedding. So, you know, that's it may be a cliche, but it's probably at least a little bit true.
We all know women after weddings, right? Hey, right, fellas?
Wink.
Hey, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, we're talking about sex.
I was trying to avoid saying that, but, you know. Homer, in a offhand comment, tells Marge that Troy told him the wedding is a sham. Marge is, of course, aghast and says that they have to do something about this. And Homer promptly goes to sleep. And we got to a commercial.
He asks Marge to close her eyes because he's trying to sleep.
Of course, of course.
Because because we can see her eyes, they actually cast light?
I guess so.
Am I boring you, Matt?
No, sorry. It's just very late. What?
Matt, it is 6:49 p.m. That is not late. In sure any is. Reality, 6:49 p.m. is not late. It is not 11 o'clock at night. It is 6:49.
Well, so says you.
Yeah, you're right. I do say that. They're married.
Indeed they are.
They're married. And it is their wedding night. Typically, certain things happen on a bride and groom's wedding night. Troy's hey, right, fellas? Right? Hey. Troy's a little busy, though.
This better be important. It's my wedding night. I'm trying to sleep.
Hey, sleep is for has-beens, my friend. And you're about to have a very crowded schedule. This marriage scam is paying off big time.
Phone for you.
D. McC.
Troy, darling, come to bed. I want to see the Troy McClure I remember from such films as Make Out King of Montana and The Electric Gigolo.
Yeah, in a minute, darling. Well, she may be helping my career, but she's starting to cramp my style.
Oh, who cares? The offers are rolling in. Paramount wants you for a buddy comedy with Rob Lowe and Hugh Grant.
Those sick freaks!
Okay, then get this. I think they want you to play McBain's sidekick in, brace yourself, the new McBain movie.
McBain's sidekick? Hot damn! I'm going to SeaWorld!
He's going to C-roll, Matt.
Indeed he is. Sorry, I just, when he calls them those sick freaks, I die every time. It's so funny.
I mean, they've had their, you know, moments in the spotlight.
They sure have.
Not great moments. but Troy's excited. He thinks he's going to be in a big movie again. He'd be important. But now that Marge knows what Homer knew and what Troy told him, Patty and Marge confront Selma. Selma is dressed like Marilyn Monroe in this scene. And I mean, it sells, well, it sells like the image that we need. Like she's already like, she's there. She's already like, I am the wife of a movie star. It's like, she's embodying kind of what she thinks she is in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I
was just going to say is that Selma basically, it goes back to the thing where she said that this is, you know, what she always wanted. So she's basically acting like she thought she would when she was a little girl.
And Patty and Marge confront her and tell her the truth, that they try and be nice at first, but then Marge just kind of blurts it out after Selma is rude to Marge about Homer. And like, your marriage is a sham. Troy's just doing this to further his career and kind of try and make people forget that he has weird sexual things, sexual rumors about him everywhere. And Selma immediately storms out, upset. But obviously I think part of her is like already worried about this. Obviously she like we already mentioned, like, I want this marriage, this ceremony over. Like, let's get to it. Like, she's already said yes. Like, I feel like it is her like still going like, of course this isn't going to work. Of course, there's something wrong with this, because this is crazy. How could my dream come true? And she just goes straight up to Troy and asks him if the marriage is a sham.
Is this a sham marriage?
Sure, baby. Is that a problema?
You married me just to help your career?
You make it sound so sordid. Look, don't we have a good time together?
Yes, but...
Don't you have everything you ever wanted here? Money, security, a big hot flat rock for Jub-Jub?
But don't you love me?
Sure I do. Like I love Fresca. Isn't that enough? The only difference between our marriage and anyone else's is we know ours is a sham.
Are you gay?
Gay? I wish. If I were gay, there'd be no problem. No, what I have is a romantic abnormality. One so unbelievable that it must be hidden from the public at all costs. You see...
Stop! You're asking me to live a lie. I don't know if I can do that.
It's remarkably easy. Just smile for the cameras and enjoy Mr. Troy's wild ride. You'll go to the right parties, meet the right people. Sure, you'll be a sham wife, but you'll be the envy of every other sham wife in town. So what do you say, baby?
Tell me again about Mr. Troy's wild ride.
So, I get Troy acts like this is an obvious thing.
Well, yeah, because he basically, I don't know if he actually thought that she knew, or he's just like, oh, you know, this happens to lots of people. So there you go.
I feel like he's like, yeah, of course. Of course. It's why, like, I feel like, you know, we see Troy as like, hey, he is the stereotype of this washed up actor embedded in kind of Hollywood culture. And, you know, that image we get is, of course, like most Hollywood marriages, like like in the zeitgeist is like, they're like, who knows what is real? Because we're so used to seeing all these people like lie to us all the time. They're actors. Their job is to lie.
It's true. I also wanted to call out that Phil Hartman does a fantastic job here of like the sleazy Hollywood kind of talk of like, sure, baby, is that a problemo? look, I love you the way I love Fresca. He talks in that very California kind of way.
Yeah, and it's we've established that he does, he cares about her, so I don't think I don't think anything he says here is a lie. I think he's just saying like, well, yeah, here's what this is. Like you're gonna be cared for. Everything you need is gonna be taken care of. You don't have to work at the DMV anymore. You can do whatever you want. And, you know, that in itself can be alluring. And Selma still sees this lifestyle as, I think, her dream as from her childhood and growing up. And I think she agrees to it just for that reason. Like, well, is it really any different than my life was before? Like, and I feel like Troy, we see it here, bits and pieces here and there, and it's kind of a tragedy that, I mean, Phil Hartman's death was obviously a tragedy, but I like, yeah. There's a part of it is that we're not going to get any more Troy McClure. There's not going to be no more character exploration, because I feel like there was still stuff you could do with Troy McClure after this episode. More, I think Selma is the person who has a real arc in this episode. Troy really doesn't. Not really. He doesn't change.
No. He's the same person he always. He was basically, this episode was basically about him using Selma as much as he possibly can, and you know, then, well, okay, maybe he might change a little bit, because in the end, after it all falls apart, he gives up the big role that everyone agrees he should take. So maybe something happened to him, but it's not obvious.
No, and all we get is, like, we get to see him much closer than we have ever before. And I feel like that artifice of, like, that facade of, like, emptiness that Troy is, like, obviously, like, he can't hold a conversation. He, like, all his talk is full of, like, just that, like, yeah, no problemo, blah, 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 blah. Like, very kind of, like, empty dialogue that's not saying much. And I feel like there's a follow-up episode out there that is seeing Troy kind of find himself, whatever that is.
Yeah, yeah.
But Selma agrees. She agrees. What? Yeah, okay. I can do this. This can be good. I can have fun doing this. I can be in the public eye. I'm dating a movie star, etc., etc. But unfortunately, it's not the end. MacArthur Parker calls once again and tells Troy for him to really get more parts. Not just the marriage was good, but would be better. Have a baby.
Mac, you got to get me that part.
I will, but you got to do something for me. Problem is, the big parts these days are all going to family men.
But I already got married.
Yeah, but for a role like this, you got to pour it on. You and a wife have got to have a baby.
A baby, eh? What do I do?
I'll send you over a pamphlet. Listen, you can't buy that kind of PR, but you can get it for nothing by having a baby, which, by the way, your insurance will cover, except for the deductible, which I'll reimburse you for if you get the part, which you will if you have a baby.
Say Troy Bien.
Okay, now listen. Let's talk baby names. You can't use Montana, Dakota, or Florida. They're taken.
Oregon?
Oh, Pacific Northwest. Very hot.
Oregon McClure?
It's a good name. No one has come up with Oregon yet, as far as I know. No celebrity.
Not yet. All it takes is one person to watch this episode.
Eh, that's true. But I don't plan on having kids, but just in case.
Troy himself is like, a baby? Really? I don't know about that. And then he's like, all right, and goes to Selma and says, we should have a baby. And Selma she's not enthused about it, but I think she just reluctantly agrees because she feels like it's something that will love me, you know, and I'll love it, etc. Like, she wants a kid. Mm-hmm. I think that she just doesn't, she's unsure about having it in this kind of relationship.
That's true. Later on, we'll obviously see her adopt a baby from China. But having one with Troy would introduce lots of complications that she is not really ready for.
Yeah, and we really see that, the obvious problems with this is when they go to have sex. And woo boy, is that, it's a really awkward, I want to applaud. This is just a beautiful portrayal of these two people who have no attraction towards each other. Like, obviously, Selma has a romantic attraction to Troy, but Troy does not towards her. And he is clearly...
Or any human woman.
Yeah, probably any human woman, really, yeah. And she's trying to help him, and he's just the most awkward weirdo guy. And I think this also further endears you to him. Is like, oh yeah, he is kind of pathetic. Like, this is like, normally he seems well prepared and like suave and has the Troy McClure persona down. But in this case, he's very, it reminds me of Brush with Greatness, when like Marge paints Mr. Burns nude, and you find, like, you see him at his most vulnerable. This is Troy McClure at his most vulnerable. He's just like this dude who doesn't know what he's doing, like trying to act quote unquote sexy, not doing it, doing a bad job. And Selma's totally like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in this situation. But eventually she gets to the point where she realizes, like, this can't happen. And she says goodbye.
Look, I'm sorry. A loveless marriage is one thing. We're not hurting anybody. But bringing a child into a loveless family is something I just can't do.
Oh, great. We'll adopt. I'll call my agent. He'll find some kid who wants in on the deal.
Goodbye, Troy. I'll always remember you, but not from your films. Come on, Jub-Jub. Let's go home and I'll microwave you some nice roaches.
Hey, shh, quiet. Let Jub-Jub speak.
You couldn't tell if it was me or Jub-Jub.
I could tell. Jub-Jub sounds different.
Sure.
That's the scene that really makes me think about what a Troy McClure follow-up episode would be, because she's like, I'm going to remember you not as the person from your movies. And like,
I was just going to say, it's interesting how no one really talks about Troy McClure anymore. I feel like a episode that stars him indirectly now would be very interesting.
Yeah, but like, it makes me realize that like everything about him is artifice and facade. There is nothing like his persona is just as cleanly constructed as anything. He is not himself really. Like, you only see that for a very brief moment when he's talking about his romantic abnormality. I think we actually see the real Troy. But other than that, it feels very much like he has carefully constructed this Hollywood persona that he just embodies all the time. He never turns it off. And it'd be interesting.
Unless in the bedroom, apparently.
Yeah, except for that, those very rare moments. And
I don't know. I really thought that Troy's suggestion of adopting a kid would have been a great one for them. Find a kid who wants it on the deal. Everybody's happy.
I don't think that would work out too great.
Well, it depends on how old the kid was, I guess.
The adoption thing, it generally, lots of problems. Many, I think Selma is the grown up here. And Selma's like, no, this is a bad idea. And she walks away. She has Jub-Jub. We do get an after post credit scene where Troy turns down his role, apparently turns down his role in McBain for his, a feature that he himself is, I get, did he, is it, it's his idea, right? They don't really say. It's like his own thing.
They say he's to write and direct in his own film.
Okay. So, which is the Contrabulous Fabtraption of Professor Horatio Huffnagel.
Indeed.
That's a good name. It is a very unique episode.
Indeed. It is. It's definitely one of those entertainment focused episodes that, you know, come along fairly frequently in the Simpsons run. It's got Phil Hartman being amazing, Jeff Goldblum in what way I think we've agreed is the best way for a person to do a guest star as a Simpsons character, not as themselves. That definitely always helps. It's a lot of fun, and it gets you to know a character you've never known before, but has always been around in the background, which are kind of are my favorite episodes.
Yeah, it adds a lot of depth. It's very kind of touching and exploratory and sad. It's sad in this. There's like, it's very much like, look at these sad people and them trying to figure out something in their lives and they fail.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I see this as an episode of Selma, who is very lonely and wants someone to love, and Troy, who basically is happy leading the life he leads as long as he can keep getting work and being famous. So he sees Selma as a means to an end. Selma sees him as a means to an end, but they still can't come to an agreement on what that end is when they want to bring a baby into it, essentially.
Yeah, it's really, really good, great, but weird. It's like it has a lot of like really touching things and then a lot of really weird things in it. And it's hard, like just the fact that it's focused on Troy and Selma and there's certainly a lot of funny things in it, but it is not, the focus is character first and foremost. I think it is certainly not mm-hmm. Hey, joke episode, which a lot of them are. It's going to be tough to rank. Which we will do at the end of the show. Next up, we have a submission for my favorite episode. This is from John. Hi, Matt Robbie. It's tough to choose an episode so late on after a lot of the ones I would have said have already gone, been gone. I'm writing this after around Springfield, but in my mind, the one that stands out is A Fish Called Selma. It is the perfect episode for Phil Hartman, and his performance really makes this a special 30 minutes. It has many great gags, and my all-time favorite scene of the Planet of the Apes musical. Main reason I picked this episode as my favorite is a personal one. I'm the only one in my family who enjoys The Simpsons. My sister usually loathes it, but she really likes this one. We share a laugh and can bond over it, often calling each other Dr. Zaius. To me, a great episode is not one that Simpsons fans enjoyed because we like most of them. A great episode is one that most people who aren't fans of the show also enjoy. The episode finally made a monkey out of me. Keep up the good work, guys.
Aww. That was good, man.
If you have a particular episode that is your favorite, you can submit it to simpsonshowpod@gmail.com explaining why it is your favorite. I'll read it when we get to that episode. Next up, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group and see what people are talking about a week or two after an episode debuted. See what people are thinking of the episode at the time. Plus other stuff that pops up, other news that pops up in that news group. Internet fans in 1996. Great is, reviews are mixed. Some people really like it because it's such a change of pace and
The Simpsons themselves are barely in it.
Yeah, the family is very barely, they appear, but they're not, they don't have much. And it's really different from a lot of Simpsons episodes. I think people are starting to catch on that, I don't know, it feels like the people who realize that, this is really what the Simpsons are, and the fact that they are constantly going to be changing, the format and structure of the show is going to be different a lot, from season to season, even from episode to episode. You know, that's, you're going to get different stuff, and you may not like some of it, but this is what it's going to be. And then other people who are like, no, I want season four again. I only want season four. I want those type of episodes and only those type of episodes. And they're like, why isn't Homer and Bart or Marge or Lisa really in this? Why are we following Troy McClure? He's boring and tired.
Which those people, I feel like you said, they have their idea of what The Simpsons is and are unwilling to change at all. They're not willing to try anything new. There are people who are still watching Supernatural 11 seasons in. All right, now that the outrage has died down, I was just kidding.
All the people who are still watching Supernatural probably, I would think they would acknowledge the fact that the show is kind of...
not really going anywhere.
No, but...
kind of like The Walking Dead.
We're going to have to work a list together of all the television shows that you're just kind of like, no, they're all bad. Throw them away in the garbage can.
No, they're not bad. They're just not for me. But yeah, basically
you can say that Supernatural is not good anymore. It's fine.
I have only ever seen one episode of Supernatural. All I know is what I've read online. Apparently after season four or five, every season is exactly the same. It hasn't changed at all.
I mean,
which is,
if you know
the
what
Simpsons
you like,
have been kind of like that the past few years. So.
Yeah. Well, if you know what you like two handsome dudes, shooting up monsters, demons and stuff. So
yeah.
That's what that show is. I mean, if you like that, it's doing well enough to keep going. What's another sitcom the medical drama romance?
ER?
No, not ER.
Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, Grey's Anatomy is still going. How? How's that still a show?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
They're not even soap operas. I mean, they try to be better soap operas, but
there's multiple posts. There's always been a couple people, but now it's happening more and more. People are like, we should all get together and get the show canceled because it's so bad now. They didn't work. You didn't get the show canceled. It's still happening. 20 years later, there's still show and forever. Have no fears. They have stories for years. That's about it. Oh, I do want to mention.
You didn't sing, Robbie. You just said it. You have to sing it.
I don't have to do anything. I don't have to.
Maybe Marge becomes a robot.
We don't need you singing either, Matt.
Maybe Mo gets a cell phone.
Okay, yeah, we got it. I did want to mention, we talked about the Gin Blossoms doing a cover of the Moe's theme song from Flaming Moe's, and I couldn't find it. Andrew, the Andrew blog, who's been a guest, found a link to it and sent it to me, and I posted it on Facebook and Twitter. So if you want to go, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I like it. You can go listen to Jim Blossoms sing The Simpsons. We can move on. Next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
The listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite Simpsons self-reference? You know, meta moments, them poking fun at themselves, etc. First from Brian, The Simpsons getting famous during the Monkey Paw segment of Trios of Horror 2. It's impressive they are so self-aware by the third season. Captain Marvelous, cartoons don't have to be 100% realistic as a second Homer walks by outside the house.
excuse me.
Holly, the opening of The Simpsons spinoff showcase when Troy McClure says the Fox Network needs 35 shows to fill a few holes in their programming lineup and then presents a schedule chart that's actually more holes than lineup. Kevin, one of my favorite couch gags, the family go to sit on the couch only to see the Tracy Ullman versions of the family sitting there, to which both families run away screaming. Chris, I think it's good for shows to go off the air before they become stale and repetitive. Maggie shot Mr. Burns. Again. Awkward silence. Homer coughs. Jennifer, Ronaldo, I tried to write, but I didn't know what state you lived in. Lisa's answer, it's a bit of a mystery, yes, but if you look at the clues, you can figure it out. It's not true. No. Dana, Danzer, surely something will come along to save the two Simpsons children. Mm-hmm. Jeff, mm-hmm. Networks like animation because they don't have to pay the actors squat with the fake Ned voice. Plus, they can replace him and no one can tell the diddly difference. That it feels so bad hearing that fake Ned voice.
It does. Really, like, is unsettling. It hurts you on a psychic level.
Yeah, it's like the Uncanny Valley feeling. It's very much like, that's, no, something's wrong. Ned has been replaced. Sarah, hey, if they've got a picture of you, it means they could see you. They're probably watching us right now. Pretty good. Sean, when Rupert Murdoch says you saved my network, and Bart replies, wouldn't be the first time. Gaspar, Bart's quote, I'm this generation's Dennis the Menace. Compound it with President Bush as his Mr. Wilson. Awesome. Jason, with Marge saying, it's those lousy writers. They make me madder than a yak in heat. There's layers to that one. From Aiden, Lisa, usually adding a new character is a desperate attempt to boost ratings. With Roy, hey, what's up, family? Hi, Roy. Gotta love Roy. Alan at Alan Titus, the Bart Simpson balloon in the Thanksgiving Day Parade. Barney at Barney Lee, when Bart whistles the Simpsons theme song and Marge chides him for whistling that annoying tune. And Freedom at Mason for Gov, finally, it echoes Captain Marvelous. Cartoons don't have to be 100% realistic. Homer walks by the window outside while sitting on the couch. Pretty good. Matt, what's your answer?
I have to go with the Roy one. It was very close to the one that Maggie shot Mr. Burns again, but it's Roy. I mean, that is so direct. And normally I like things to be a little more subtle, but that one is just so dead on. And that episode's so bad that it's just a perfect storm of commentary and terribleness.
My answer is from I Annoyed Gruntbot. Idobot.
Mm-hmm.
When Lisa finally gets a cat that doesn't die and says, you're Snowball 5, but we're just going to call you Snowball 2. You're going to keep the same dish. And Principal Skinner walks up. He's like, I don't know about...
That seems a little cheap, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a little cheap. And she's like, okay, Principal Tamzarian.
Dang it, you're right. That's amazing. I forgot about that
one.
And
then he walks, and then he's like, oh, never mind, and walks away. I think that's, I like Principal the Pauper. I said it. I like it. I like that episode.
It's better than everyone gives it credit for. We'll talk about that in future seasons.
Yeah, we will. I'd call an audible on our next week's question because I realized we already done the one we just came up with. So,
oh, crap.
Our favorite, this week's question, next week's question. What is your favorite Selma quote? You can think, find.
The worst part is I'm gonna have to figure out who said it, Patty or Selma.
Yeah, it's gonna be tricky. But I trust you guys. You guys come up with good answers. I'll post this question on all of our social media on facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, on Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. You can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. reach out to us any of those places. Follow, like, get to see links to the Gin Blossoms singing Simpsons covers and other associated things. It is time once again, Matt, for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each challenge each other with three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard. Try and stump the other. We have a wager for this season. Whoever loses has to at least attempt to eat in one sitting 64 slices of American cheese.
And try not to die.
Yeah, it's just cheese. Cheese product.
Mm-hmm.
Be fine.
And it's just vegetable oil.
Yeah. You won't die. You just feel bad for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I drank that milkshake.
You'll be stocked up for a few years.
I drank the milkshake. It's like, I know what cheese tastes like, at least. You know, that's a flavor. The milkshake is a flavor that we created that I'm not a fan of.
It was a very bad flavor.
It's not a good flavor. It tasted like chocolate gasoline. With thought, that is what the milkshake tasted like. Not a great taste. I'll start us off, Matt.
All right.
With an easy question. These are all from The Simpsons Movie.
Oh, God. Ooh, it's been a while.
The Simpsons flee to what state in The Simpsons Movie?
Alaska.
Don't even let me finish the question.
Sorry. I don't have to know the other two, so I'm proud of that one.
That is correct. What is my easy question?
All right. Your questions are all from The Secret War of Lisa Simpson.
Okay.
Where are Bart and Lisa sent in the beginning of the episode?
To a military school.
Indeed. Good job.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much for that. I get 1 point. I appreciate my 1 point. Your medium question. According to The Simpsons Movie, what four states border Springfield?
Oh, God. Oh, it's something stupid. It's like Arizona, Kentucky, Alabama, and like Montana, right?
You got one of four.
Ah, oh, dang.
It's Nevada, Maine, Kentucky, and Ohio.
Fair enough.
What is my medium question?
All right, so your medium question. What are the military school students doing when Lisa visits? And I would like the quote if possible.
Oh, okay. Well, they're studying poetry. They're discussing and studying poetry. And truth is beauty, beauty truth, I believe is the quote.
I am impressed. You are knocking out of the park today.
Well, Matt, you asked me about poetry. What do you expect?
That's true. English major.
I got to get something from it, all right? You know, it's not the most valuable degree, but I got a little bit out of it. Your final and your hard question. If you get this right, I wouldn't be surprised at this point because you pull like this. But okay. Lisa's song, written by Colin on the Dome, is written in what time signature?
Oh, God. What time signature?
I mean, there's only so many time signatures.
I know, but I want to say you wouldn't ask if it was 4/4. So
you sure about that, Matt?
Pretty sure.
Maybe I would ask to try and trick you.
Uh-huh. I'm going to go with 3/8.
3/8? Oof. Is that your final answer?
It is.
You're wrong.
Oh, dang.
It's 3/4.
3/4. I knew I had a 3 in it. Anyway.
All right.
Nerds. All right. You ready for your last one?
Sure.
All right. What will the students that graduate from the military school in the student in the Secret War of Lisa Simpson do rather than fight?
They will repair the robots that fight all our future wars.
All right. I'm going to have to go back and start redoing these questions. Apparently, they're just way too easy.
Oh, because I got one right? That's what you're...
You got all three, and I only got one.
Matt, you want to tell me... You want me to count how many times you've gotten the requisite six, how many times versus how many times I've gotten it?
I'm pretty sure you'll beat me.
No. You have gotten... Mm-hmm. Let's see. You've gotten 5. You've gotten 14. You've gotten 9 at one point. And you got 6. And I've gotten 6 and 6. That is it. I'm looking dead at you. Mm-hmm. You can analyze yourself, but... Even with that, that just puts me within. I need to get closer, Matt. There's still a 9-point gap with, like, I think 5 to 6 episodes to go.
Whew. Well, good. I definitely have to.
It's about time you have to eat some awful substance
at the end of a season.
Instead of me. I've done it enough. I've embarrassed myself enough times. Even though I don't think so.
When it comes to eating things, no. I would have happily mowed the lawn in a dress, but not eating things. Sorry,
I don't know. I looked pretty good in that dress, if I say so myself.
Well, I'll leave that up to our listeners.
I have some bonus questions for you, Matt.
Yay!
These are from John. John Richter, because we have multiple Johns sending in trivia questions now. I want to give people the right credit. I'm going to give you 10 questions, all from one episode. I want rapid fire, all right?
Quick. All right, I'll try.
These are from Homer Badman.
Oh, yes.
Tickets to the candy industry trade show are found in every millionth package of what item?
Krusty Club Bar and Krusty Club Bar with almonds.
Correct. What is the name of the babysitter for the kids while Homer and Marge attend the candy industry trade show?
Ashley something or other.
Ashley Grant. What is, quote, the candy of a thousand uses?
Wax lips.
Correct. Homer is accused of sexual harassment after he snatches what rare item from the pants of the babysitter?
The gummy de Milo. Or sorry, gummy Venus de Milo.
That is technically correct. The best kind of correct. What is the TV program that Homer appears on with host Godfrey Jones?
Rock Bottom.
Correct. Due to constant media scrutiny, Homer proposes the family pack their bags and go where?
Under the sea.
Downward sweater. That is correct. Who is the host of the talk show that reunites mothers and daughters to their hatred of Homer Simpson?
Gentle Ben.
That is correct. Homer S. Portrait of an Ass Grabber is a Fox TV movie starring what famous actor as Homer Simpson?
Dennis Franz.
That's correct. Grandpa Simpson will be deep in the cold, cold ground before he recognizes what?
Missouri.
That's correct. And finally, what is the name of the TV segment about Groundskeeper Willie making secret videos of private citizens?
Rowdy Roddy Peeper.
That is correct. 10 for 10.
Yeah.
Rowdy Roddy Peeper is pretty good.
It's a good name. I mean, it's a wrestling reference, so of course you'll enjoy it.
I know. I miss Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, you miss a lot of the old wrestlers, I bet.
All the dead ones, yeah. Like, most of them. Oh, I can't. We're not going to talk about dead wrestlers. Like, God, I'm going to. It's a bad.
It will just make you sad.
That's a bad scene. We can't do that.
We don't need to hear Robbie bawling.
You don't. We can move on to our final segment. A segment we end every single episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever. Best episode ever. It's part show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. How good is this one, Matt?
That's the thing, is I'm trying to figure out. I really like this episode. You know me. I love episodes that are only, you know, peripherally related to the family. And this one has it in spades. It's got the family in there just barely. They're basically there for plot development. And it mainly concerns two characters, which one of which, Troy McClure, we haven't really seen a whole lot of before. And then there's Selma, who we get some added depth to her character. We've gotten a little before, but now we're really pushing into it after Black Widower. I don't know. I'm definitely thinking top 20. Are you on board with that?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. All right. What are you thinking?
I think that I would put it at least 13. I think it's better than Bart the Fink.
I would agree with that.
Because it's Bart the Fink is, a good comparison just because it's about Krusty. You know, it's about what Krusty is and about Bart in his relationship kind of. But I don't know. I feel like this is deeper. It's serious. Like, it has sad. Like, I applaud episodes that, like, aren't afraid to just be sad occasionally. But, like it peppers in a lot of really good gags and really does good character work with Selma. I like that. I really like it a lot. It's not maudlin though. Like, I feel like there is there's definitely episodes of The Simpsons that turn into like, hey, this is kind of corny, cheesy stuff. This is feels impactful and important. You could talk me higher if you think it's higher.
Well, the one immediately above that is Teenage in the Class Struggle in Springfield, which I don't think it's really necessary, mainly because that is basically a similar episode in that it deals with, it's got lots of funny jokes, but it also deals with very serious issues in terms of the family and their relationship to one another. I really like that episode. This one, like I said, I really enjoy the ones that focus on the side characters, but because they focus on the side characters, it's not quite the level I would put it at Scenes from the Class Struggle in Springfield, but it's just a hair underneath.
Yeah. I feel like it is right. That's why I say 13, because I don't think it can beat Scenes from the Class Struggle in Springfield. That is a similarly paced episode, but with Marge and the whole family. And we've kind of talked about how Marge episodes are so few and far between when you get to a really good one you know, you want to really, you like, you cherish it.
Yes.
And 13 was Bart the Fink, and then Two Bad Neighbors and Lisa the Vegetarian. I feel like those episodes, like Two Bad Neighbors is great, but it's very like goofy and silly and kind of
nothing's really serious about it. There's nothing to say.
It's conceptual about like what happens if you introduce a president into the neighborhood and like that kind of thing. Yeah. But it's not really like there's not character development in it. Lisa the Vegetarian is a little bit too heavy on the like, hey, it's a little maudlin there. Like, and it's very much like that. It's very much like Lisa character development feels a little, I don't know, a little high handed. So new 13.
I can get on board with that.
New 13 on our list is a fish called Selma. I'm not sure why they took the name. I guess just because of Troy's weirdness with fish.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of.
Because the movie Fish Called Wanda is nothing like this.
Yeah, it has to be the name. I mean, they figured out what's weird about Trump. I want to say I saw something in the notes that it was originally called something else, but it might have been a different episode.
It probably was. I mean, they probably just went, it's... You know, there's oftentimes they've used names that parody movies or, and they're not really, the movie is not related to what happens in the episode. Doesn't make me want to go back and watch A Fish Called Wanda, which is a great movie, but I'm not related. So new number 13 on our list is A Fish Called Selma. Still number one is Cape Fear. And still in last place is Homer's Odyssey at 138. But I think something will get, it'll definitely supplant it. I think by the end there, it will definitely... It will definitely.
Oh yeah,
it'll rise up the ranks. Maybe two to three spots. Up. Two to three spots by the end. By the time we get to the end, you can find this list on our website, simplythesimpsonsshow.com. Links to everything there: Facebook, Twitter, RSS feed to this list broken down by season with Treehouse of Horror segments broken out individually. Also, link to our Patreon. Want to throw us a couple bucks? We'd really appreciate it. What is our next episode, Matt?
Ooh, I'll have to check my list. It appears to be Bart on the Road. It's going to be an interesting one.
Get your wigs ready.
Some road capers.
Get your wigs ready.
Yeah. And your fake IDs.
Yes, definitely. But anyway, we'll be talking about that next week. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. Please check out my other podcasts, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, which is about comic books, and The Serial Fanaticist. Just about anything. General discussion.
True. Comes out whenever he feels like it.
Yeah, every Thursday when I feel like it. But that'll be it for today. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, my New Year's resolution, I have decided to get fit. So I am going to run across the country. So if you see a crazy fat guy laying on the side of the road panting, it's probably me. Just, you know, wave hello, pour some water on him.
Matt,
keep moving.
You're not a fat guy.
Yeah. You haven't seen me in a while.
I saw you literally 6 days ago.
Like a week ago.
Yeah, exactly. I saw you a week ago. Uh-huh. You weren't fat. If you're fat, I'm fat, all right? That's, and I don't like that. I don't like that implication, all right? So you're not fat.
All right, fair enough.
Just a little, you got more to love.
Mm-hmm.
More to you love.
My wife.
Well, we both love you very much.
Aww. I love you guys too.
Aww. Well, sweet. With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching those episodes.
Shh.